Hi, everyone. Welcome to Blue Bench Podcast. My name is Gabby Crevett. I'm the Communications Director with the Montana Democratic Party. Today on the show, we have State Senator Cora Newman from Bozeman joining us. Senator Newman, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this podcast. It's really, really helpful. I know a lot of people listen to it and you're getting information out there that's really needed. So thank you.
Absolutely. So I want to just jump right in and ask you about some big statewide related news. It sounds like Montanans could face Medicaid work requirements and higher costs earlier than the rest of the country. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, that's right. So the state is submitting the 1115 waiver to the federal government to basically expedite the process of having work requirements and some other requirements on people seeking Medicaid or who are already covered by Medicaid. The HR1, one big beautiful bill, it set some changes to Medicaid. And the goal of those changes basically is to kick people off of Medicaid. So it's actually not Medicaid cuts, even though that is the way it's talked about and what it inevitably eventually will be, cuts to Medicaid spending. The way they're doing it is by increasing work requirements and increasing the number of times and how often you need to qualify and reapply. And so through that process, people are going to inevitably fall off or be kicked off. And so that's what the federal Medicaid cuts are. And what the state is doing is trying to expedite that process. So these won't actually, the federal ones won't actually take effect until the end of 2026, right? So we have a year and a half to prepare our states for these new changes. And Montana wants to expedite that process so that it basically takes effect as soon as possible, as soon as the waiver is accepted. So that is a big change. And I'm glad you're doing a podcast on it because it's pretty consequential.
So some people might argue like, hey, this is already in the pipeline happening down the road. What's so wrong about bringing up these big changes, earlier than the rest of the country? How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I understand the push and urge to, I know I've spoken with Governor Gianforte about this process, and I know that he's committed to and believes that people need to work. And I think anybody who can work and can find work wants to work. So I don't think that anybody's debating that. The challenge is, are we set up to do this? And one of the things that we saw with Medicaid unwinding, so I work at the Native American Development Corporation and we run the Billings Urban Indian Health and Wellness Clinic. And Medicaid unwinding, which was basically, it was Medicaid redetermination. So people needing to reapply or show that they qualify for Medicaid, we had one of the highest rates of people getting kicked off of Medicaid in the country. And that was because our systems were not set up. And so we have not shown in this state, the state has not shown the people of Montana that they have the infrastructure to actually pull this off, to support this process of requiring work and of reapplying every 6 months. I'll show you, if you let me share my screen, I'm going to show you just how dire things are in Montana and why I feel like it's important for us to make a case to the state that we are not ready for this. And we are absolutely, definitely not ready to expedite this process without some serious investment in the systems that we use. So let me just share right here for those who are actually watching this instead of just listening. You can see here on this report from CMS that here, look at where we are. Okay, this is the entire country, all 50 states. We have here, Montana is the very last state. These are states that take 45 days or longer for people to process their Medicaid application. We are the very last in the state. So in what world does it make sense for us to expedite any process related to Medicaid before we fix these systems? We have at our clinic in Billings, and I know that this is happening across the state, we still have people who have still, they've been kicked off of Medicaid, even though they qualify, and they have still not been able to get back on because our process is so broken. So it's not, we're not debating whether or not this is a good idea. This law has passed. It is what it is, right? We're going to have to deal with these work requirements and having to reapply every 6 months. And I can get into that if you want, into the details of what's in this new bill. It's not about whether or not this should happen, because it's going to, it's whether or not Montana's ready. And we are not, we are so clearly not ready, because we have not even fixed our system for the redetermination. So I feel like this graph, like we're not even like in the middle here. We are the very last. And so this is states where it's, you know, 60% of the applications take 45 days or longer.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So that I think is just a really good kind of, that elucidates the issue here.
Yeah, that's a wild visual for sure.
Yeah. And so that's from the Federal Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. And I'm happy to run through what is in this waiver and what is in the HB 1, one big beautiful bill, as it relates to Medicaid, if you want.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Just so people know, because it's a lot of information and it is confusing. So just to clarify, what is in HB1, and then Montana is actually asking for even more stringent requirements on a couple of fronts. So I just want to run through the key things that are in the bill and that will be in the waiver. So first of all, I think everybody's heard about, so work requirements are, you need to work for, in order to get Medicaid coverage. So most adult Medicaid enrollees will need to complete and report 80 hours of per month of work, job training, school, or community service. So that is, it's not just the work of 80 hours a month, it's being able to report and get the paperwork to report that work, right? So think about that as, it's two prongs. It's the work and then the documentation and actually having that be accepted. There are exemptions for certain groups. So American Indian or Urban Indians are exempt from the work requirements, pregnant or postpartum women. And that's a limited time frame as well. People with high medical needs or who have a serious medical condition. And there's a list of medical conditions that are included in that. Again, remember, you have to prove all of this. A caregiver of a young child. So federally, I believe a child is under 18. Sorry. And in Montana, they are pushing to make that requirement under 13. So Montana, again, is pushing for even more stringent requirements. So caring for a young child or a disabled family member, a veteran with a serious disability, and the federal level is including foster youth under 26. I believe, and I want to verify this, but I believe Montana, again, is pushing for a more stringent requirement, and it's foster youth under 19 only. Or people receiving inpatient care, and then those experiencing homelessness, domestic violence, or needing to travel for medical care. So those are the exemptions that are included under this waiver and under HB1. There is also an income-based exemption. So if you earn at least $580 a month, or average that over a 6 month period, you're considered compliant and you don't have to report your activities because you're working. There will be really strict compliance checks. So enrollees are going to have to show that they met their requirement for the 1 month before applying again at 6 months, and then again at 12 months. And so those are some of the really high level basics. There's also the potential for premiums to be introduced, for co-pays. Co-pays will be introduced federally, if not sooner, in Montana. And the co-pays are going to start in 2028. States will charge co-pays for services like non-emergency doctor's visits. We hope to push for having some of those co-pays exempt, like substance use disorder treatment or primary care. And so there, you know, there's some hardship exemptions and other things, but what you see with that, especially if you need to report this at 6 months and then again at 12, right now it's every year. One of the big challenges with anyone who's seeking Medicaid is seeking Medicaid because they are having a hard time making ends meet. This notion of fraud, waste, and abuse is just, it's just a cover for kicking people off of Medicaid, and what I think is punishing people who are struggling. And so what's happening here is we are putting an undue burden on people who are already, I mean, we know in Montana how severe the housing crisis is, right? And there's nobody who's going to debate that. So we have people who are, you know, we have an increase. When I was growing up in Bozeman, we didn't have any homelessness. We didn't have anyone, you know, struggling to find housing. And then, you know, throughout my lifetime, it's been a few people, right? It's, you know, it's increased a little bit, but we have this huge spike in people who are housing insecure or homeless, right? And people, and, you know, and then we have businesses who are struggling to find labor. So when you make it harder for people to get healthcare, you make it harder not only for Montanans who are really working, they're like the engine, the people who are working in Montana are the engine of our state. You're making it harder for them to get to be healthy and to be able to work. And then, you know, you have to remember that 60% of employers also have people using Medicaid. So hopefully they will get the support they need. But it just, it doesn't make sense for us to be making Montanans' lives harder, especially those who are really, really struggling. And when we see our state going through this huge, you know, the division between rich and poor is just exploding. I mean, I'm obviously seeing it in my hometown. It's been really hard to watch and to experience, but we're seeing it all over the state. And so, yeah, I know that was long, but I wanted to make sure people have the details of what this means.
No, the details are important. And I, as you explain this to me, I can't help but, like, I don't know, find it so ironic how this governor, Governor Gianforte, who's really fancy, you know, he fancies himself to be like this king of cutting red tape, and this just honestly sounds like a bureaucratic nightmare. Like this,
you're right.
Like
that's
a
exactly
nightmare for people, for employees, state employees working with folks just trying to get re-enrolled. It sounds like it's going to just be a disaster, similar to what we saw with the Medicaid unwinding, but maybe times 10. Who knows how much worse?
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, we're not ready for it. And so pushing the waiver through early, and, you know, the thing that I want to encourage people to do is to take action if they can. So public input is always critical, right? We know that. We saw that in the session. I can tell you, as a first term senator, having people, Montanans, take the time to come in and testify or call if they needed to, or Zoom, made a huge difference. I mean, we really, really does make an impact on us. And so I want to encourage people. There is public comment. and so the state DPHHS is actually accepting public comments until August 18th. And there are public hearings this week on the 31st and August 1st. I'm going to also be attending the tribal consultation one today. And so having, you know, if any listeners can, I know you're going to share the link, but participate in that public comment and share stories of why, not just why, you know, Medicaid, it's like, it's one of those things that lifts all boats, right? Medicaid helps keep our rural hospitals open. It helps keep our workforce healthy. It helps, you know, really obviously keep, you know, keep people treated and cared for so that our overall communities are healthier. And it's a huge boost for our economy. Huge. And so even if you're not on Medicaid, we need you to speak up for Medicaid because it is so important for the health and wealth of our state. So, and personal stories obviously always make a big difference, but, you know, let's flood DPHHS with comments and testimony.
I want to ask you just briefly about work requirements. When you talk to, I don't know, just somebody on the street, a random person on the street, and you talk to them about work requirements, on paper, work requirements, for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't seem like, it makes sense to people. People are like, yeah, work requirements, that's not an unreasonable prerequisite. What do you wish people knew and understood more about what these work requirements mean?
Well, first of all, I think a really important thing to know is that the overwhelming majority of people on Medicaid are working.
Mm-hmm.
So Medicaid is not for people who are, you know, laying around and just don't feel like working. 60% of employers use Medicaid. You know, the overall majority of people on Medicaid are either working or in school or are full-time caregivers. So it's not like people on Medicaid aren't working. What this is going to do is make it harder for people to stay on Medicaid. It's going to add a huge amount of work to their plates when we know that, again, if you're on Medicaid, you are not flush, right? You are struggling to make ends meet. And so the what I would say is most people already are working. And so why are we adding 50 to, you know, I don't even know how many times, but 50% more work, right? You have to now, well, it's more than that, actually. Not only do you have to prove that you are eligible, now you have to also submit documentation about your work. And that's not always easy to get. I mean, I know if you're, you know, everyone knows if you're a seasonal worker, a part-time worker, you're piecing your work together. You may not have that documentation ready at hand. It might be on your tax forms, right? But to actually get that pull of all of that, when you have odd jobs and things that you're piecing together, to pull that together to submit every 6 months, that's a lot more work, not only for the individual, but for DPHHS. And we're not set up for it. So it's I think the answer is most people are working.
So what are House and Senate Democrats doing right now to fight back and advocate for Montanans who rely on these social services?
Well, I'm really very proud of the work that we did during the session to actually remove the sunset from Medicaid expansion, right? So that was a huge win. So we do actually still have that. We still have access to that, to Medicaid expansion in the state. So what House and Senate Democrats are doing, we passed the legislation, and then we also have the interim committee. So we have the Health and Human Service Interim Committee, and I'm on that. Representative Howell is on that. So we haven't talked about this waiver specifically because it came up between our two meetings. But in September, when we meet, we will talk about this. And then we're also trying to show up and mobilize our constituents to testify and to come in and make their voices heard about this. Individual constituents, and then also organizations like our community, you know, hospitals and our rural hospitals. So we're trying to just really educate and help, you know, this Medicaid expansion was a major win for us. Now let's keep it, right? And we can do it. I mean, if we take the time to set up systems and to staff up and to improve our technology in this state, this doesn't have to be a huge disaster. But we're not there yet, right? So just reminding the state and reminding anyone who's involved in this process that we are not set up yet. One thing, Representative Howell passed a bill, which is an assister portal, which will help community assisters, who are people that help individuals enroll in Medicaid and stay on Medicaid. It's a portal. It's, you know, an actual technological solution, and I don't think they've developed it specifically yet. But that bill passed, and so we will have that portal up and running, but that's also not until next year. That's May 26, I think, the earliest. So, we've passed additional bills, not just Medicaid expansion, to make this process easier, but now the state needs to slow down and invest in a serious way.
I'd like to point out as well, you, as well as some of your colleagues that you've already mentioned, Representative Howell, Representative Cafaro, will be holding a town hall this week, Thursday, July 31st at 6 p.m., holding a town hall. We're hosting with stakeholders from across the state, representing organizations like Planned Parenthood and clinics on
Montana Food Bank Network, tribes. Yeah.
So you guys are also getting out there and holding town halls, whereas I know folks from across the aisle, especially those, our congressional delegation on recess, they might not be eager to talk about this.
No.
So.
Course not, because it's not popular. It's wildly unpopular, and it's the last thing we need right now. We had a great session. I mean, one of the things that so that's what we're doing on Medicaid, and then I also just want to reinforce one of the things I talk about it at every town hall, and just as I'm out and about talking with people, is I just want to encourage Democrats to be really, really positive right now. We had so many wins at the state level, more than we've had. You know, Democrats are the minority. It's not easy for us to pass a bunch of bills, but we had so many successes this session that none of us expected to, because we built, you know, coalitions and really just set differences aside to work together. And so I want one of the things about Democrats is that and why I'm a Democrat is because we want to fix things. We want to make the world a better place. We want it to be fair. We want everyone to have opportunity to flourish, to thrive. And so we set really, really high expectations for ourselves. We want to accomplish sometimes more than is even humanly possible. And what happens is it's never enough sometimes as Democrats, right? It's like we have a really hard time stopping and celebrating our success. And so I just really want to encourage everyone. I know if you look at the federal level, things are scary and dark and very, I mean, there's violence. There is, you know, increasing, you know, move towards fascism. I mean, we're really there. And so when you look at the federal level news, it's scary and it's dark and it is overwhelming. So I'm encouraging people to look at what we're doing at a state level, because we have some really phenomenal accomplishments, and I want Democrats to celebrate. Like, we should be out celebrating and talking about what we've achieved. If we want more people to come, you know, become politically active, you know, become active Democrats, we need to make it a place where they feel like positive and we're making progress. And so some of the things that we accomplished that I'm really proud of is, you know, we passed long-term investments in childcare, in housing, in state employee pensions. We passed a property tax bill that's delivering real relief already to Montanans. It's not perfect. It was tough on my district, and we're looking at how we're going to continue to fix that. But it's a really important property tax relief bill. We reauthorized Medicaid. We delivered some amazing legislation to Indian Country, and I'm sure you'll have some of our, you know, the American Indian Caucus legislators on. We defeated almost every single anti-judge bill, the partisan courts bills, which was huge. It's a huge, important step to protecting our freedom. And then obviously we passed the budget. So yeah, there's a lot to be proud of. And I think that's my final word for everyone in any of the town halls or meetings I go to is let's celebrate and be really positive, because we're on track. We're making, you know, great strides here as Democrats in Montana. Thank you for being a part of it, Gabby.
Well, I like the idea of ending on a high note. I'll be honest, we get into a lot of the doom and gloom on this podcast. So let's end on that high note. Senator Newman, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.